is watching you go from, I mean, I remember you just threw this thing together, you invited me, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wow, this thing, like, you built a thriving community from, I mean, pretty much nothing in a
Yeah, from
very
nothing,
short
zero.
amount of time. So I'd love to get some behind the scenes information about yeah, just how you've been making that go. So I'm gonna make you a presenter. Send
Sure.
you may make you download something. All
Yep,
right.
I'm going to download it right here. It just asked me to download it and add an extension, so it's going to be loading here in a second. And then, yeah, I can pull up my Facebook page and give you guys inside access to that, or Facebook group rather, excuse me. Oh,
Sounds
let's see.
good. And I'll go ahead and I'll take care of a quick. Oh, there we go.
Can you guys see my screen
We
now?
can. We can.
So I can't see you or anything, but
We can see you good. It's fine.
okay, good.
Yep.
So if you guys have questions, I guess you can on the call, I guess you can ask those questions. It looks like there's a chat box. Maybe Antonio, you can
I'll do that.
moderate for
Yep.
us.
I'll be in the
Okay,
chat checking
cool.
it out. So.
All right, perfect. And then you just want me to get right into this, or where do you want me to start? What would
Yeah,
be best?
let's start with a quick intro, a little bit about your background. I mean, I take it you didn't just wake up one day and grow that beard and become this Facebook expert on man, you know, in the crowded manosphere.
Yes.
Which it's, you know, Brett is over at the Art of Manliness, so kind of was the one of the first ones online, and he staked his
Yeah.
claim. But ever since then, it seems like a lot of guys have gone out, and a lot of them, to be honest, I remember talking with Brett about the conference because I wanted Men's StyleCon to be a little bit more general, and I talked about Brett, like, why didn't you ever do a conference? Maybe you want to come out, and he knew a guy
Sure.
named Chris Guillebeau. And I remember him and Chris and this guy Leo over at he's a philosopher guy, Zen Habits or something like that. In any case,
Okay.
all these guys, I mean, they're huge now, but all those guys when they were smaller, they used to like mastermind together. So this is back in probably 2007, and I know it sounds like a long time ago, and so they all blew up. But Chris Guillebeau, he went down the actually having a conference path. And what Brett told me, I remember stuck with me. He's like, you know, the kind of guys that would show up to a conference I would throw, he was kind of scared about some of the, because
Oh, really?
you get a lot of, he gets a lot of nuts, to be honest, that
Yeah,
reach
really.
out to him. Yeah. And so he kind of, it, Brett, I think, and I mean, he's got a big presence. So I know that he stepped away
True.
from things. He doesn't have an email address that you can reach him at, or most people can. What he does is, if you want to contact him, send him a physical letter. And that's kind
Right.
of like, so he's almost become a hermit. But I thought it was interesting. You just went straight into it and said, no, I'm going to build a community. I'm going to actually get people out here. And that's, so I saw these pictures you put up a while back about like bringing people together. But a year ago, I didn't even know about your website, to be honest.
I
So,
didn't have a website a year ago.
yeah. So I think
That's
that, I mean, you've gone
wild.
from nothing to like being a leader in the space in less than a year. So for a lot of people out there, you know, maybe they can, we've got a few great guys that are ahead of most. I know Zach Bob here, he's doing great stuff in the crowdfunding space, but looking to become a stronger leader. Dave Chesson, you know, when it comes to SEO for Kindle books, like he's dominating that space, but is there room for him to branch out of that or other ways he can dominate? Yeah, so we're here to learn, and I'll let you know, with that quick little intro about how you came out of nowhere, finish off talking about, you know, where you come from, where did you serve, and all that stuff.
Sure, yeah. So my background is actually in retail management. So I managed Buckle stores across the nation, mostly in the Southwest, and then I was in the National Guard, the Army National Guard. And in 2005, it was the day before Thanksgiving, and my section chief called me up and he says, "Hey, Ryan, we've been activated." And my wife and I, who had been married for 6 months at the time, were living in Southern California. I was managing a store down there. And she had gone home for Thanksgiving. I came back up. I had to tell her we were being activated. I had to tell her that on Thanksgiving Day. And just kind of a crazy situation that I'm sure a lot of people on this call have dealt with personally. So you understand a little bit how that comes from. So I went overseas and I spent a year and a half over there. And I came back and I had no idea what it was I was going to do. I knew I didn't want to be in retail for some reasons. and no idea what I was going to do. So I ended up taking all of my study materials to Iraq with me for my insurance and my investments exams. And so in my downtime, I studied that, came back as a financial advisor, trying to speed this story up a little bit here for you guys. But I started a podcast in the financial planning space and decided that I still have the financial planning practice. I've been a financial advisor for 10 years. But as we started having children, I looked around at my own personal life, and I didn't have a father growing up. My dad left when I was 3 years old. He chose drugs and alcohol over my mother and my sister and myself. And then a new father came into my life, and he was an alcoholic. He wasn't abusive, but he wasn't present. And then when I was 12 or 13, a new man came into my life, and he was verbally and emotionally abusive. And so as I started having kids and my wife and I got married, I knew what I didn't want to be, but I didn't have a role model of what I wanted to be. So I went out on a journey of discovering what it means to be a man, and how do I be a better father, how do I be a better husband, how do I be a better leader in my community. Antonio, you mentioned Brett, of course, who is an amazing, amazing resource and an amazing man. We've had conversations in the past, and he's been on the podcast, and the trail that he's blazed has been pretty incredible, and so it allowed me to get into the space. So I guess when it comes to community building, Antonio, that's what you want to really hear a lot about, right?
We're interested in the story. I'll feed you questions. Right now I'm looking in the comments. I just see people with, you know, throwing out motivation, no specific questions. But if you can talk a little bit about your journey, I'm sure that someone will latch on to something. And
yeah, you bet.
And then they'll jump in and we'll talk about it. So Zach, Bob, you got something?
Well, I mean, it's kind of after he finishes the story, I'll start throwing questions out there. So.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. So what I did, so I thought, you know, I like what Brett's doing. I like some other of these websites that are out there. This is something I want to explore. This is something I'm interested in. So I threw my hat in the ring. I said, I'm going to start a website. I'm going to talk about what it means to be a man. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do these things. And the first thing I did, Antonio, was I kind of looked around and saw what events were out there. And I ran across StyleCon. So that was in March, I think, of 2015. And I literally released the blog, started the blog and the podcast 2 weeks, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before StyleCon. And I went out there because I think there's, when it comes to building a community, there's a lot to be said for what we can do digitally. And we have the ability to leverage ourselves and really connect across the planet at a rate that we've never been able to. But there's also something to be said for meeting face-to-face. So I went out there, Antonio, I met with you and Aaron and Brett and Eric Van Holtz with Beard Brand and, you know, all of these guys, Tanner Guzzi with Masculine Style, all of these guys who were there. And the support that I received was incredible. So I came back from that event and I said, okay, how are we going to use this event as a way to build a community, to build a brand, to help really springboard this thing? And I put together an article right when I got back called 17 Sites Every Guy Needs to Know. And it included Antonio Real Men Real Style and I Am Alpha M and Beard Brand and Masculine Style and Modest Man with Brock McGough and all those guys. And it really took off. That article took off and it really springboarded and catapulted my brand. Because of that one article and my attendance at StyleCon, and I've since stayed connected with you guys, because there is a strength in community. I mean, everybody here, it sounds like, is a veteran. You guys understand the benefits of having a team and a battle buddy and somebody who's got your back and somebody who's looking after you and somebody who's willing to call you out when you need to be called out. And we have an ability to do that, but I think a lot of the times, especially in this digital world, we tend to have this lone wolf syndrome where we think that it's noble or virtuous to go at it alone, and we think that we don't need to surround ourselves with other people. So my goal was really to create a community. I didn't want it to be just me. I wanted it to be a community, and even down to what we titled our brand, which is Order of Man, speaks to society, right? Fraternity, group. Organization, and that's what I want it to be. I want it to be a collection, the world's largest organization of men working to improve and help each other. So that gives you the background, I guess, Antonio, if that's a little bit about what you're looking for.
No, that's solid, and that's a great that's a big audacious goal. So let's talk about what you've accomplished since you put up that post. That's cool. You get a post, it goes, gets a lot of traffic. But what I've been impressed by is the type of comments and interaction you're getting on Facebook, which I've never gotten on my website or my Facebook.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I'm going to pull up. Can you guys still see my screen? You there, Antonio? Can you see the screen all right?
Everything's good.
Did I lose you guys?
Yep. No,
you're okay there. I thought I left you. So this is our Facebook group. So I've got a Facebook page, which is great. I think having a Facebook page is important, and everybody's got one, and it is what it is. But this is a Facebook group. So this is a closed group. So you can't access this group until you request access to it. And you can see we've got over 1,700 members now in a matter of 9 months or so. And when you say that you're impressed with the responses that I'm getting within this Facebook group, I'll tell you the sole reason that is. I want you guys to look at this post right here. This is one I put up a couple hours ago. I said, for those of you who maybe can't see it, I'm feeling a little courageous today, so I thought I'd put this out there. Here's what I looked like 5 years ago, pre-beard, pre-Spartan, pre-order of man. I wasn't happy with my life, not my body, not my business, not my wealth. It was a tough time. So over the course of the last 3 years, I've been on a personal journey to become a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better leader, a better business owner. It isn't always easy and it isn't always pretty, but it's always moving forward. And I've got this picture that depicts or represents the journey that I've been on over the past several years. I've got no beard, for those of you who can see this picture. I'm probably 40 pounds, 50 pounds, maybe almost overweight in this picture. And I think in order to grow a great community and to be a great leader in general, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. And so I post things like this all the time because I want other guys to know that it's okay for them to post things like this. And what I've seen happen is I've seen people talk about divorces they've gone through and embarrassing situations they're dealing with, things they won't even talk with to their closest friends. And we've really tried to create this culture of vulnerability, I guess you'd say, so that 1,700 guys could literally come in and give you their unique advantages and their unique perspectives to help you overcome whatever it is that you're overcoming. So Antonio, when you say it's been pretty impressive that you're getting the comments that you are, the only reason I'm getting those is because I'm willing to put it out there myself and I'm giving other men permission to do the exact same thing.
So Ryan, can you talk about how you're using this group? I mean, there's a couple major disadvantages I see to this. It takes a lot of time. And
yes,
so how are you seeing a return on investment for your time?
Sure, yeah. So from solely a business perspective, so I'm going to switch gears here a little bit because there's obviously the side of it that I want to help guys be the best versions of themselves, and there's all of that. But the other side, the business side, which I think is what a lot of guys are interested in here, is the workflow, I guess. And so I look at my podcast and I look at the blog as a marketing tool. It is not the end product. For me, it's a marketing tool that allows guys to come in through those channels, and then my goal is to funnel them into this group. And the reason I want to funnel them into this group, again, from a business perspective, is because I want them to start engaging with the community. I want them to see that there's guys who are having success as being part of this community. And what the end goal is that a percentage, a select percentage of these 1,700 men will eventually filter over into our elite mastermind group, which is called Iron Council. And that's a paid group. So very similar to what you guys have going on here. I don't know the details of the mastermind group that you have going on, but it is a paid group that men can join, and we have virtual meetings, and we have accountability partners. We call them battle buddies because I was in the Army. And so we have a lot of accountability provisions built into Iron Council, which is the end goal, to get men into the Iron Council, and we can help each other accountable, be accountable, and then, of course, there's a cost associated with that, which is how we're able to generate revenue for Order of Man. I think is what you're looking for, Antonio.
Yeah, I definitely like to see and I actually, I remember that we had talked about you were a financial planner, but I love it that you're doing something which many people would say social media doesn't really make sense. You're not gonna, it's hard to get a return on investment. I mean, I know that you put a lot of time into this. I see you respond to almost every comment, which today, how many comments do you have on this thing? I mean, how many guys have interacted just today? I've counted. I mean,
today, like probably 10 or 15, maybe.
10 or 15? I mean, and this is every day that people are contributing at this volume, which adds up. I mean, you see groups with 10,000 people that get maybe, you know, that don't get that type of interaction.
Yeah. You know, sorry, I clicked on the wrong button here. Turn that off. I think if you want to be successful, you've got to have to put in the work. And that means you're going to have to do a lot up front. I know that there's guys out there who have talked about starting on their entrepreneurial journeys and haven't made any money from, you know, 3 years into it. And I don't think that has to be the case. I want to make money as quickly as I can by providing as much value as I possibly can. So I'm willing to commit, and I'm willing to respond, and I'm willing to interact, and I'm willing to ask tough questions, because I know that if I do that, they're going to see that they're and want to be involved in something more. So this is the primary marketing.
You there? Do we lose him? Ryan, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. It may have been on my end. So, where did I cut off?
You were talking about how this is your primary marketing.
Yes. So this is it. This is my primary marketing. And so I put a lot of energy and time and commitment and dedication into doing this. I also have a couple of administrators that help me administer the page and keep things on track and accept new requests as those come in. But for the most part, I'm primarily responsible for responding to and engaging with everybody that there is. I just have faith that because of the interaction, I have guys that are coming into the Elite Mastermind. And I'll give you a small example of that. 1,700 guys is not a lot of people in the grand scheme of things, especially when you consider that half of them probably really aren't even active in the group. But I opened up our Elite Mastermind last week, and in the last couple of days, I've had 22 people sign up for our Elite Mastermind, our paid mastermind. And the reason they're doing that is because they see that there's additional value because I'm so engaged in the community that they're not even paying for.
I love it.
Yeah.
How much, just out of curiosity, how much is it for the mastermind?
So the mastermind group is $67 a month, which is not a lot. It's pretty inexpensive. And over time, I anticipate that price going up. I did a really short trial run a couple of months back with 12 guys, and I charged them $100 for a 60-day program, which is obviously it's dirt cheap. And so I went through that, and I kind of worked out some of the kinks in the virtual meetings that we're going to do, and so we doubled the price. But I imagine in the next 5-6 months, we might even consider doubling the price again because of the value we provide and the demand that there's been up to this point.
So where do you see that taking that in 6 months to a year? Is that like where you're capping at maybe 100 guys and be able to charge $97 a month and then have a $10,000 like reoccurring revenue model? Or
that's a good question. That's exactly where my eyes are fixed right now. So a lot of guys have said, well, what happens when you get, you know, 1,000 guys? And I'm not even thinking at that point. My sole responsibility or my sole focus right now is 100. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to get to. And if it takes me 6 months, fine. If it takes me 6 weeks, fine. But my goal and priority is get to 100 men, and then we can determine at that point, because I know we can get more than that, but we'll determine at that point, is this feasible? Is it reasonable? Is it still having the personal interaction and all the things that we want to accomplish? And if it is, then we'll consider capping it or raising the price at that point. So there's a lot of things that we can do, but I've got my eyes fixed on that 100 person mark right now, which I don't anticipate it taking that long.
All right, really quick in the comments, Mike Mills made a great point about thank you for saying that money is in the value and not the value being in the money. He had that realization today. So Dave Chesson, he's got a specific question. What's better in today's Facebook, a page or a group? why did you decide to go specifically with a group and not just a page?
So a page is great because it's static, but to me it reminds me of a magazine. You open it up and you check it out, you pick and choose what articles you want, you read a couple things, a couple paragraphs, and you close the magazine, put it away, or throw it in the trash. And I think that's what a Facebook page is very akin to. It's pretty static. Obviously, you can continue to update it, but we all know this. Facebook changes their algorithms all the time about how many people can see your post and everything else. But with the group, it's a lot more interactive. So guys are, in my case, men are able to communicate with each other. They're able to ask questions. The other thing I really like about the Facebook group is that it's set up in a way that you will get notifications if there's a post within that group. So if I look and I put the exact same post on my Facebook group and my Facebook page, I can guarantee you that I will have so much more interaction on the group than I will on the page. And that's really what we're looking for. We're after interaction. And so that's why the group has been better for me. So I think hopefully that answers your question. But I think if you're trying to build a community, you're trying to get them involved, I will tell you that there's a problem, though, with both. And the problem with both is I may have 1,700 guys in the group, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have 1,700 people that I can connect with. So one of the goals and the challenges that I've been focused on is how do I transfer 1,700 guys in a Facebook group over to an email list, which is something that I have control over. And I think that's something that you probably ought to consider as you're starting this. One way that I've done that is I've created several different landing pages through Order of Man that are specifically set up for my Facebook group. And I'll tell them, hey, if you go to orderman.com/whatever I set up, that's a way for me to capture some of their emails, which I haven't really been very efficient at doing up to this point because that's something that I've just been recently thinking about.
How are you growing? Initially, obviously, you had your audience, and that's a great way to drive traffic to this. But how are you actually growing the group on a daily basis?
So when I started, I literally went out to all of my friends, and I even emailed as many people as I could, and I said, hey, I'm starting this group. And I think 200 or 300 guys I was able to just get on my own. And so that was the springboard. That was the starting point. And that was a lot of work because I had to, just like you were talking about, Antonio, earlier, I had to email every single person. I had to make a few calls. I had to send them a message on Facebook. And so it was a lot of work on my end. But what I noticed is that as the group started to grow, I noticed that I started to get these, for lack of a better term, these raving fans, these guys who responded to every post, did everything they could, engaged with everybody. And I reached out to those people specifically, and I thanked them for their involvement. And I asked them to help me administer the page. And so as they started to take ownership and some responsibility in the group growing itself, they started inviting their friends. They started bringing their friends on. But I talk about the group everywhere that I can. So if you listen to our podcast, I mention the group before the actual show, after the actual show, because, again, the group is my primary marketing strategy for driving people into the Iron Council. So I talk about it every opportunity that I can get. There's all places all over my website where you can find access to the group. I market it on other social media platforms, so I talk about it on Twitter and I talk about it on Instagram because I want to drive people back to that group. So that's how I grow that.
Do you have a content strategy? Do you plan out what you're going to post to your group every day?
So this is one of my weaknesses. And the weakness I have is I'm not a great planner. I'm not somebody who enjoys or even is really willing to sit down and plan out my next 30 days of what I'm going to write about or the content that I'm going to address. It's just something that I'm not great at. What I was going to say is what has been beneficial is that I can interact with these guys real time. So if there's a current event, for example, there was the debates last night, Democratic debates last night. I can bring that up real time and just talk about it right there. Is it the most efficient way of doing it? Probably not. But I've noticed that I get a lot more interaction based on current events rather than planning something out over the next 30 days. And a lot of people will say, well, how do you build this in your day? How do you have time to do this? I mean, I challenge you to track your amount of time on Facebook or whatever it is, social media platform that you're on, either Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or Twitter. And I know you guys are probably on there just as much as I am. I just happen to be doing it here as opposed to another avenue. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, especially with the current events, like you said, with the presidential debate. I mean, if people are watching it on TV, chances are their phone's with them. They'll see it, you know, a post into their new group and get them to interact.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ryan, yep. What do you fear about – I mean, Facebook's always making changes. One of my fears – well, I got a couple because I really don't have a thriving group, and I'm like, low-hanging fruit. I could easily get something going. However, one of it, it's like I trust Facebook seems to have screwed over so many people on pages. A lot of people spent a lot of money and effort building up those pages. Now they can't reach their fans. And it seems like Facebook's always changing the game. They just came out the other day. I know Zach, Bob, and Mike – are very familiar with the live broadcasting. So that's a cool new toy. Does that mean that eventually groups could get phased out or something like that?
Yeah. You know, I think it's really easy to be upset about that. And it's funny to me. I hear people complain about, Facebook, I can't get a hold of any people, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And I think, man, this is free. This is an amazing tool. There's no time ever in the history of this world that you've been able to connect with people. And we naturally choose to say what Facebook is doing wrong. But with that being said, I think that you need to understand, and this is something I'm keenly aware of, is that you're right, Antonio. Facebook tomorrow could say, no, we're done. We don't like groups. It's not profitable. It's not beneficial for us. We'd rather have people go to pages so that the owners could have to pay for advertising and all that stuff. And I understand that. Which is why Facebook isn't the only thing I'm doing, number one, and which is why over the past month or so, I've been really conscious about driving people outside of Facebook and at least getting their contact information. That's the biggest thing. Get their contact information. Because if Facebook changes something and it's not in your favor, which is likely that it won't be, then at least you can email your database and say, hey, guys, look, Facebook changed things around. It doesn't make sense to do this anymore, but here's where we're going to continue the conversation, and you can invite them to wherever it is you're going to join the conversation later.
What's your best performance strategy to kind of get that email address or to kind of get that that information from your group?
Well, I think what's really cool within the groups is you can do polls and you can ask questions, and one of the things that I've done that's actually been really helpful for me is that when people sign up for my email list on my homepage, they get an autoresponder email. Now, autoresponder email, and this is something I got from Pat Flynn, and I'm sure other guys are doing this as well, is it says, you know, John, welcome to our community. We're glad you're here. I need you to do three things right now before you do anything else. So step one is I need you to email me your number one concern as a man right now. Step two, I need you to join our Facebook page, and then step three is, you know, check out our other social media channels. So I get emails every single day from men who are saying things like, I'm struggling with my relationship with my wife, and I'm struggling with confidence, or I'm not in the best health that I would like to be. So what it's doing is not only allowing me to reach out to those guys individually and say, hey, great, here, connect with us on our Facebook page. So that's another way for me to drive back, Facebook group, another way for me to drive them back to the Facebook group. But it gives me this database of things that guys are struggling with. So to answer your question, what's the number one strategy? That's it. I need to know what's going on in the lives of these men. And the more that I know that, the more I can create free content that will allow me to drive them back to getting their email address. So I'll tell you, the number one concern that I get more than anything else has to deal with confidence. I'm not confident in my relationship. I'm not confident in any area of life. That's what I get. And so I can put together a quick sheet on 30 tips to build more confidence, set it up in a lead page, and have all these guys who are on my Facebook group who I don't have emails for, direct them over to orderofmen.com/30confidence builders. So they go over there. They want to get that. They have to enter their email address. And the reason I know it's going to resonate with them is because they're the ones telling me that's what they want to hear about. So that's what's so powerful about interacting in a group, is I know what these guys are all about.
What about spammers? I tried creating a Facebook group before, and I'm in the crowdfunding industry, so everybody just kind of has a tendency to like, oh, here, come take a look at my crowdfunding campaign, and that's kind of what my group ended up turning into before I killed it. Like, how could you deal with that, especially in the beginning phase, the beginning stages?
It's really interesting. I don't get a lot of spammers. I've gotten a couple of things, and I just quickly delete those, or the admins kind of know what to look for, so they'll delete those things. But I haven't really dealt with spam. The one thing I do deal with a lot, and I think this is something if you're going to set up a Facebook group that you need to be aware of, is that guys or whoever your audience is part of that group, what they'll want to do is they'll want to automatically post content to their sites. And as noble as their intentions may be, anytime somebody posts something to their own site, it never gets any interaction. And it's a turnoff to me if I was on Facebook group, and I know it's a turn off to the guys in the group itself. So I put right in the rules. Here's the rules. Here's what we do. Here's what we don't do. And if somebody does post content to their own site or somebody does spam, I delete spams and I block spammers. But if somebody just posts content to their own site, I delete it and then I shoot them a message and I say, hey, I appreciate you sharing. Unfortunately, we don't allow content directly to your own site. If you want to respond to something because you have a resource, great, in a comment. But don't make a post about it. And I have yet to have somebody get upset about that, which I'm actually really surprised. What they say is, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Thanks for letting me know. Or, hey, thanks for reaching out and giving me the heads up rather than just deleting it and not letting me know. So I think the more forward we are about this and the willingness that we have to communicate directly with our audience without jumping to the conclusion that they're trying to sell or spam, I think you're gonna develop and earn respect from the people in your group as well. Does that answer that question?
Yeah.
Good.
I like the fact that you message them as well, because that, I mean, I wasn't doing that. You know, I was just kind of deleting it, you know, and I think if you go that extra step by messaging them, like you said, it kind of makes more sense.
Well, I'll give you a prime example of this. I put a post on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and a guy took my post, and copied and pasted it in his own feed and didn't give me any credit for it. And I was frustrated about that, and so I put something a little bit snarky on his Facebook page. I said, hey, you got to make sure you give credit to where credit's due, whatever. I put something like that, and he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, and kind of backpedaled a little bit, which was great. But I thought to myself, you know what, that probably wasn't cool, because I don't think he was intentionally stealing my content. What I probably should have done is just send him a private message and said, hey, Joe, I saw that you put this on your Facebook page. Would you mind just giving me credit for that? And I'm sure he would have done that. So I think we really need to be respectful of people and not jump to the conclusion that everybody's out to get us or the haters of the world or want us to, you know, burn. And I don't know. I just don't subscribe to that too much. So I try to show as much respect to everybody until they show me they're not deserving of it, I guess I'd say. But still, to be respectful, I think, goes a long way.
I just took a screenshot of your rules. Do you mind if I post it in the chat?
Oh, yeah. Feel free. Yeah, absolutely.
They want you to yell at me.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. Make a snarky comment on your Facebook page so the whole world can see that I'm mad at you or something like that. One of the things that I'm actually considering doing, for those of you who are going to start a group, I've got the rules on the Facebook page in the description. Just put those right in the description. So anytime somebody joins, I welcome them into the group. We can talk about that strategy here in a second. And then I invite them to read the description. But I'm actually going to take this a step further, and I'm going to pin a video, a welcome video, to the top of the Facebook group so that guys can get a feeling for who I am. They can see me. They can hear my voice if they haven't already. They can see how committed I am to being part of this group and being the moderator of this group and go through some of the rules there too. So I'm curious how that will work.
Can you talk a little bit, Ryan? Now you've got a family. You sound like a busy guy. Talk about your work week. What are you putting in? What for you is normal effort building something like this up? And I'm curious, do you also still run your I know you said you had your financial planning business. Do you still spend time in that?
Yeah. So 70% of my business is still from the financial planning practice. So 30% of my time is what's spent and dedicated to Order of Man. So the way that the week works is that Monday is only for Order of Man. I don't do any financial planning stuff. I get emails from clients, and they know, hey, I don't respond until Tuesday. That's my financial planning work week starts. So Monday is podcast recording, podcast editing, Facebook updates. I try to update as many things as I can for the entire week, so I schedule those posts out. And so that's what that looks like. And then I will, Tuesday through Thursday is the financial planning practice, and we won't talk too much about that, but I stay pretty active with that. But there's going to be things scattered in between, so I might be responding to emails or responding to a Facebook message. And so I'm doing that throughout the week when I have time, and then Friday, again, is dedicated to Order of Man. So I have 2 days to cap the week off, and Tuesday through Thursday I'm doing a financial planning practice. And my goal is to switch that. I'd like it to be 70% to 80% Order of Man, 20% in my financial planning practice. So I think you've got to find ways. A lot of people will look at that and wonder how we're able to grow Order of Man in a short period of time with 2 days a week. It's about finding ways to be super, super efficient, hyper efficient, and being committed to your time. In addition to the other things, you know, I coach my son's basketball team, and I stay pretty active with my church callings. And so there's a lot going on top of that, but it works out well. And then the other thing, to be fair, is that in the evening, I'm also doing some things after the kids go to bed. So my wife and I will usually split up for an hour. She'll do her thing, I'll do my thing, and then we'll come back together and do our thing together. And that gives me a little bit of additional time throughout the week to focus on Order of Man. There, Antonio.
All right. Yeah. No, I'm here. Cool. I'm just so if you were to break out like hours, what do you think the amount of hours that you work a week?
For Order of Man would probably be 20 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say 20 between the 2 days that I cap the ends off, and then a couple of things sporadically or throughout the week or in the evenings, about 20 hours a week.
So do you find, I think some guys are surprised because they're like, they thought maybe you were doing this full time. And now that they see that you're spending less or about half of a normal work week focused in on this, what do you think the secret is to be getting so much done so quickly?
Oh man, we waste so much time throughout the day and we don't even realize what we're wasting. So I think the first thing that we have to do is to take a very good long look at what we're doing on a daily basis. Because I know even as efficient as hopefully I am and that I think I am, there's still inefficiencies throughout my day. But how much time are we spending watching TV? How much time are we spending on Facebook but scrolling through personal feeds? How much time are we taking traveling between appointments when we can have people come to us? So every opportunity that you can, you need to look for efficiencies in your week and collapse time frames is what I call them. So one of the strategies I use with my financial planning practice is I have a 30-minute commute from my house to my office. And I used to take that time and I used to listen to music. Well, now I don't listen to music, I listen to podcasts. And when I'm not listening to podcasts, I'm making client calls. So I'm not actually even calling people when I'm in the office. I'm calling people when I'm on the road because I've got 30 minutes of time that I can give that attention to. So when you can collapse your time frames and overlap those things and do two things at once, oh man, the world opens up. It's all about leverage. And that's why the Facebook group, so going back to the group, is so valuable. I'm leveraging my time. There's 1,700 guys right there. I can say one thing, reach that many people, get that much engagement, or somebody else could post something, and they're actually marketing for me. So if somebody says, hey, I'm really having a hard time with my wife, and 15 guys chime in and give some input, that's great marketing for me that I didn't have to take any time doing.
Now, I've also seen that you're getting into video. And I'm really happy to see that. You did a great video for StyleCon the other day. Now, is it something that you talked about being able to multiply yourself? Is it something you're finding that you enjoy putting together a video message and then using putting it out on Facebook?
Yeah. So, Antonio, I started with when I started doing video, I started on YouTube. And I still do YouTube. And YouTube is a great platform. But since I've started moving to Facebook, so I actually publish my videos on YouTube and also on Facebook, and I think that's really going to be a trend. You can talk more about this than me. Not only has it been a trend, I think it will continue to grow. The ability to connect with people through video and see their faces and listen to their voices is going to be absolutely huge. So I think you need to, this is another leveraging strategy, repurpose content. you already have YouTube content, why aren't you putting on Facebook? Or you already have Facebook content, why aren't you putting on Instagram? And there's so many tools out there that will allow you to automatically share posts from one platform to the other, and we need to be using those things. And then the other side of it, and this is in all fairness, I really, frankly, don't enjoy putting together a blog post. I don't really like the writing process. It's not something that I enjoy that much. But I have other men who want to contribute information to the site. So I'm going to allow them, as long as it's useful information, it's credible information, and it's presented in a way that's going to be advantageous for our audience, I'm going to let them write the blog post and do those things, and I'm going to focus on audio and these type of things that we're doing now and video, because that's what I'm good at and that's what I enjoy. I don't enjoy those other things. So we've got to find ways to get more involved with the things that we like and less involved with the things that we don't.
Now, I see some people in the comments here saying that they're talking about live streaming on Facebook. And I know, Zach, Bob, you've been doing that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Michelle's saying that she doesn't have access. Mike, I thought you did have access, but I thought the key was you had to use your phone. You had to use the app.
They just rolled it out to iOS. They haven't rolled it out to Android yet. So okay. They just released it in like December. I just found out about it. There's a little, if you go onto your phone and if you have an iOS device and you're about to put, you can only also do it from your personal account, which sucks. You can't do it from like a Facebook page or a group yet. Hopefully they'll roll that out in the future. But
yeah, but couldn't you post it on your personal account and then post that in a group?
I don't know that you can share it to a group. I really don't think that you can, Antonio. I'll have to look into that, but I don't think you can share a personal message to a Facebook group. But you can, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about video, I don't think it's available.
Gotta be a way to figure that out. I'm sure it can be done.
yeah, there's probably a way.
We're entrepreneurs, so maybe we could like create an app to do that.
There you go.
And I see Mary Ann out there in the comments. Mary Ann, great to see you. Been missing you. I talked to Tom. We were like, where's Mary Ann been? So got a good group tonight. And if you guys have any questions, all right. Yep, Mary Ann's Army as well. So we've got some more Army representation there. Kicking and screaming. Air Force. Yeah, I know we've got the Air Force. We've got the Marines represented. And there's Tom. Hey, Tom, how are you doing down there?
Good. Sorry for the delay in getting on. A couple of things popped up, tech issues and then real estate stuff, so I don't want to get into it. But Ryan, I'm curious, have we already covered design? Have you guys already talked about that for your website and how you do branding and design?
No, we haven't covered it, but I'm certainly happy to.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I look at this website, I'm like, it just looks sharp. Like, it looks professional. How'd you get the look, the logo? How'd you put it all together?
From a business perspective, again, this comes down to the things I'm good at and the things that I'm not. Guys, this is just my website is just a template. It's a theme forest template is what it is. So if you guys have ever checked that site out, it's all based on WordPress. I use free images from unsplash.com. You guys may have seen that. And then if you were to scroll through the homepage, you can see all of the images that I use with the text over the top. Those are templates. I created one or two or three in Photoshop, and I use the exact same template every time. I plug a picture in there, change the wording, and throw it on my site. So the more that I can be efficient by not creating everything over and over and over again, I think the better off we'd all be. So I just, like I said, to answer that question, I used a template. That's all it is.
Ryan, do you use the same text for all your images? Because I've been struggling with creating thumbnails for YouTube videos.
Yep, same text. So do you use Photoshop?
I use Canva.
Canva, okay. So find a text that – I'm not real familiar with Canva. I mean, I'm sure it's similar. But find a text that you like. Maybe there's two that you like. There's two that I use, two or three fonts that I use. And I use those in every single picture. And then what I do in Canva, I think, is actually even more responsive than Photoshop for this. What I'll do is I'll create the featured image. Sorry, I'll create the featured image for the blog post, and then I'll take that featured image and I'll just take the whole thing and I'll move it over to my Instagram picture template, and I'll adjust the sizes a little bit because it won't fit on Instagram just right. But again, it's all just through templates, and I use the same text in as much as I can. And not only is it super, super convenient and easy to do because it's all been created. It helps create continuity within your site and within your images. If you were to look at my Instagram feed, for example, you know that's an Order of Man Facebook post or an Instagram post, excuse me, because it looks the same as the one I posted yesterday. And I think there's a lot of branding strategy that goes into that as well. I want everything to look the same, and I don't want you to question who it's coming from when you see it.
Where do you get your images?
I go to Unsplash. That's one resource. So it's unsplash.com. That's one resource. Images are so expensive. Oh my goodness, it's crazy. The other one, let me just pull this up, and can you guys still see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. The other one, this is actually, oh, here it is, thestocks.im. And so if you look at this site, this is really cool. Over here on the left sidebar, there's probably 15 to 20 places that you can get images from. So there's Unsplash right there. So if I were to click on that, it's going to load maybe for us. It's going to come up with the Unsplash site right here. But it doesn't look like it's loading for me because that's not Unsplash. Oh, there it goes. Okay, so this is a little visual. Okay, so anyways, you just click on those, and the feed will come up in this main window. Here's what you want to look for, though, with images. You want the CC0 license, Creative Commons 0, which that means that you can use those pictures in any way that you want, and you can even edit them. If it has any other license, you need to be careful on how you use that information or how you use those pictures on your site. You don't want to steal images, but have that license that will allow you to use pictures however you'd like. And that's all that I use. I use those pictures. I mean, all of these are all from, 90% of them are from Unsplash.
Another, I don't know if you've ever used it. Another one I use is Flickr. You can actually do search by like the Creative Commons, and I have one that says commercial use allowed. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I haven't looked a whole lot. Again, it's with Unsplash, it was kind of nice just because they all have the same look and the feel pretty much that we're going for in the site. So again, that's a continuity issue. Again, you want to make sure that everything looks the same. It has the same vibe and the same feel so that people can recognize it instantly. Oh, that's Order of Men, or that's this person's company, or that's Real Men, Real Style, or whatever.
I have to say overall, my design needs a lot of help. So, we've got some, Nick, I've seen you down there, and I'm curious, could we do something like this for snow shoveling? Could you build a vibrant community?
Just curious. Sure you could.
Yeah? Nick, maybe you want to tell Ryan a little bit about what you do, and I'd also like to hear an update on how the business is going.
Absolutely. So I don't want to waste everybody's time on too much of the business end because there's a lot going on. But Ryan, what my site is, it's a marketplace for shovelers and homeowners. I like to say homeowners and renters to meet shovel owners and renters. Okay. And up here in Canada, it snows all the time. You need somebody to shovel your driveway. It's a place for you to come online, post your requirements, and let people in the community bid on doing the work.
Ah, interesting. I like that.
Very community-centric, but kind of replaces the Craigslist Kijiji with more of an Uber Airbnb kind of model, sure. But something melded in between.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Do you have a platform that you use, or how do they converse? Is it through your site?
Yeah, it's through the site. So the site's snowandshovel.com, and you can throw it up there, and everybody could see it. But it's entirely platform-based. So the idea is to keep the communications as minimal as possible because it's an everyday annoyance task. It's not like you're getting somebody to come renovate your bathroom. You can do it by posting literally just photos of your driveway in the summer even. Doesn't matter because it gives the idea of the people space. And then everybody in the community knows how much snow there is. So you really just go on there, click, yeah, do my sidewalk, driveway, and porch today. And that's all I want to have done. Mm. And then people see that. They've got your address mapped to your house. They can see your photos, get the idea of what the space could be like, and go, well, I'll do that for $20. And they bid 20. Or the kid down the street might do it for 10, even 5. Kids will do it for 5. Why not?
Yeah.
The whole point is to kind of, you know, encourage the free market and get people helping each other out.
Yeah. Well, I believe in free markets. I'm a financial advisor, so I'm all for it. Supply and demand and competition are all great things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to update everybody on the business side, it's a new platform. It's developed, and we ran into a whole bunch of programming issues, a lot of them around PayPal, to work our payment system, because the biggest thing is taking away the payment system from everybody. So you could find jobs on Craigslist or whatever, but you always have that awkward moment where you're standing at the door and you're trying to get cash, you're giving cash, and people are uncomfortable with that. So we wanted to eliminate that. So we take care of the entire transaction. So you as a homeowner go on there and say you're driving to work for your first 30 minutes a day. You look at your driveway as you drive out past the plow berm. You're like, shit, I'm not getting back into the driveway this evening. You can go on your phone. You can post the job in 30 seconds, and you pay right there with a pre-approval. So then somebody can come during the day. They do the work. You just have to confirm that it was done, and bam, payment's handled. You never have that awkward moment. Nobody's wondering, hey, if I do work, am I going to get paid? Hey, if it doesn't get done, am I going to get fleeced? There's no worries there. It's all taken care of. For the rest of the group, what happened is we had the site set up on a trial address, and everything was progressing slowly in terms of PayPal. And to get an application like this functioning fully with the PayPal API, so it all gets automated and done, you have to get PayPal approval to do that. So we had the PayPal approvals all in place before Christmas, and PayPal actually screwed us. So right before Christmas, I was having all these issues, and we couldn't figure out where the programming issues were, and every time we'd go to PayPal, they'd say, oh, well, you got to fix this, and they'd give us some code to fix. And just after Christmas, they came back and went, oh, yeah, well, it turns out it was on our end. So they went and fixed some code, and we moved along. Well, last week I thought, oh, right on, we're here, we're ready to go. And again, test everything before you launch, because one of the really important things is that when we take a registration, the users go in, and if you want to get paid, you need to have a PayPal account, because we're paying out through PayPal. It's the most secure, easiest thing that we found we could use in Canada. There's some great solutions in the States, but they don't always translate across the border. So a user has to register. If they want to get paid, they have to have a valid address or a PayPal account address. So we have to validate that. And PayPal, in fixing our first problem, took away our permission to validate the address. And nobody noticed that until last week when I went and tested the whole algorithm one last time. I went, hey, it won't validate my PayPal address. So I actually got I was on a call with Mike right afterwards, so I got Mike Mills there to try it out, and his didn't validate. I went, what's going on? Contacted PayPal, and voila, they took that away. So they have to fix that, and it's a holiday today. So hopefully tomorrow that last problem solved, and then everything else is minor fixes that we want to refine. But I mean, I'll be up and running. Lesson learned: technology takes time if you don't have a buttload of money to just pay somebody to solve all of your problems. And really, really top-end people are expensive.
Sure.
That's my rant anyways.
Well, I have to admit, the site, definitely got a unique design to it. Have you tested the UI? Because my thing was, where do I start? Like, you give me almost too many choices.
Yeah, so I'm going to chuck in a couple of here, hold on 2 seconds.
Because do I log in or do I register? And what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Do you log in or register? Okay, so there's the fun part. If you click on any of those links, it kind of leads you down a path. So if you haven't logged in or if you've never registered and you click on log in, it's going to send you to a login screen that will lead you back to a registration screen. And Tom actually started me off with the big concerns on, is this user interface going to work or is it going to confuse people? So I started testing it. And I started testing it with old people. So I went first to my mom because, you know, my mom doesn't really know how to use technology. She learned how to use a computer and Google like 3 years ago. So if she can figure it out, well, that's a bit of a watermark. So I sent it to her, and she loved it, and of course she did. I'm her son. So not the greatest test, but she successfully registered and posted a job. So that's a good sign. So then I actually sent it to my wife's mom, because my wife's mom is even worse with computers. And we were at her house for Christmas, and I watched her do it. And even she fumbled through it. And just the day before, I'd seen her lose her mind because she couldn't remember her Gmail password. So that was good. But the one thing that I did that really inspired confidence was I went to peak.com. I think it's peak.com. Tom set me on it. And they test websites. And they'll do your first few tests for free even. So I went in there, typed in my email address, set myself up for some testing, and I got videos of users logging onto the site and actually using it, which was super helpful. So I got to see a woman from Mississippi, I think she was from, somewhere in the south, and she had no idea what any of this was. She's like, well, it's cute. I don't know what it's for, and she started with the registration process. She's like, well, I guess I'll register, and she got through the registration process. I'm still not sure what this is for, so went to how it works. As soon as she got into how it works, she's like, oh, it's for snow clearing. And just hilarious, because I guess that would be really great if you're up in New England or Alaska maybe. And as she went through and she's reading, she got to the kilometers. She's like, oh, kilometers, it must be overseas somewhere. And my wife and I were killing ourselves because we're like, yeah, the overseas spot between New England and Alaska. She got there. It was awesome. But no issues using the site and getting through it. But what I have done, because you guys are asking, is I'll set the links in here. I got them all set up. I set myself up with some lead pages so that when I drive traffic initially to the website, they're going to land on one of these three pages. And the great thing about lead pages, they're all A/B testable, so I can tweak them and change them and see really what performs the best. But they all give the opportunity for somebody to get to a page, get the details on what it is that we're offering, and all of the links take them right back to the main page. Because as a user, I mean, if you think about it, you use Craigslist all the time or Kijiji or fuck even Facebook. Do you really need to go onto Facebook and find out what Facebook is for after the first time, or would that just be annoying? It's the same thing here. So I wanted to give somebody the opportunity to find out, hey, what is it? What is it for? How does it help me? And then after that, this is where you go. You never have to see that what is it for again, because that's just a waste of your time.
Nick, is there a reason the lead pages, like you're not using them like with your website?
Yeah, so all the links that I have are from the lead pages server right now. So this is just how I got to share it with you. I have to load it onto my server to have them through my snow and shovel address. But I don't want to do that while the developer's in there screwing around and fuck something up. So that'll come later. I also figure it probably won't make too big of a difference. The link in the Facebook and the ads, it'll drive you to this site. And as soon as you click it, it's going to be a snow and shovel linked page. So, and users never see the full address except for that one brief period, right?
So on something like this, Nick, the question, and we got the expert here, Ryan, how can we build a raving community? How can we build a community of people that just are like posting, like, I just shoveled my driveway and it took me, I did it in 10 minutes, new personal record.
I actually have some ideas there, and I wanted to start just getting a site that works was step number one. But in terms of community, I thought, and Ryan, this is right up your alley, and you can tell me if I'm crazy here, but I was thinking that the community and the group that would really be neat to have would be that group of shovelers, the guys that are going out before school, before they go to university in the morning, and shoveling five driveways and making their $150 for the day and going off about it. And really rewarding the people that pound out driveway after driveway after driveway, I think that might be the group to rally a community around. But I'd be happy to hear your thoughts.
Sure. Yeah, you want my thoughts on that?
For sure.
I think that's really good. I think if you can create some sort of a competition, I think competition drives a lot of it. Like this guy's going to say, well, yeah, you did that. Check out what I did. And so I think competition's going to be really good. I think images are going to be really good. Like, which is the hardest job that we had to get done today? And here's this guy who did the hardest job today, and look how he did it. That's going to be valuable. I also think you could show or have people post crazy ways that they've shoveled snow in the past. Like, what's the most creative way you've gotten rid of the snow on your driveway or your walkway? So I think the more that, obviously, the more pictures that you can use of the service actually being completed and make it fun and competitive, I think you're going to drive a lot of traffic either to the site or even using it in a Facebook group and letting those people communicate with each other. But in order to generate traffic through the Facebook group, I think you're going to have to make it fun and engaging. You have to either entertain them or inform them. So I think that's what's going to be valuable for you.
Hey, Nick,
I like it. That's great.
Nick, have you ever seen the remote control car that has a little snow plow on it and clears a driveway? My wife.
Is it big?
No, it's like this big, but it's got like this little plow, and this guy's out there and he clears his driveway with this little remote control car. I'm like, because I hate clearing my driveway. The only reason I do it, because I could pay a guy $20 to come do it, but I do it because I got to teach my son hard work. I'm like, nope, we get out there. And let's get out there. He's 11. He's got to do it. But I mean, of course, I got to go out there and show him and motivate him. But gosh, we spend an hour and we get a long driveway. It's all torn up. It is not smooth. I literally want to put in a new driveway simply because it'll be easier to shovel that damn thing. But I can't because it's all torn up. And so we're just hitting rocks. And it's just, yeah. They use flamethrowers in Alaska. That's right. Joe, good to see you, Matt.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. Man, if you had a quick 15-second video of that, everybody would come in to see what that would look like. I would watch that.
Do they really use flamethrowers in Alaska? That's awesome.
Exactly.
I love it. Clean. You know, I'm going back to Gander, which is this little community in Newfoundland. I got a bunch of friends there. A buddy of mine's retiring. I'm going to get the boys out, and we're going to just do a bunch of videos to kick it all off. That's a great idea. Flamethrowers, I love that idea.
Yeah, there is. I just found a great video. Here, I'm going to share this. Apparently, they add a flamethrower up. Yeah, let me share this. That's really good.
Joe, in addition to that, what you could do is Napalm Works Wonders. You could have some sort of an annual snow and shovel contest or event where people would come and you'd have a bunch of snow and it'd be, you know, 20 yards of snow and whoever could clean it up the fastest or do a certain job. Like doing events like that may be a way to engage community as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think that could definitely be a neat idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and get everybody out for hot chocolate and shoveling snow and having a contest, and I think that'd be really cool. I think a lot of people would engage.
Cool.
Especially in maybe the communities that you've done a lot of work in already. If you notice the jobs are reoccurring in a certain community, man, I would focus on that community first.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the rollout plan, is to focus on community after community to just get people active. But that's great.
I definitely vote for you, sponsoring a flamethrower, cleaning off driveways. That would just be awesome. There's some good stuff out there. How to do this? I love it.
Yeah, that's great. That's
Hey, what about let's see, Zach Bob. What about you, man? What could you do with your existing group? Ryan, Zach Bob said he had and I don't know if you still got the group. You killed it?
Killed it, because it just got overwhelmed with spam. And you know, I think honestly, if I would have done what Ryan said in the first place, like messaging them and just telling them why I took down their post, I think that probably would have worked better. But I don't know, I mean, I really tried hard for a while there with that group, but at the same time, like, I don't know, I get spammed like 90 times a day on my Facebook page just alone, and Twitter, everywhere else, just because it's, when it comes to crowdfunding, that's all anybody wants to do is just post their link to their campaign, and that's it. So I'm going to try it again, though. I'm going to give it another shot. I got a more private group that I do, but I'm going to try to kind of get an open group going again. I've been crowdfunding.
I think maybe to speak on that a little bit, I think you need to be very clear about what it is that's going to be happening in the Facebook group. So the more that you can be clear and upfront about what your expectations are and what you hope to see and what you don't want to see, the more room that you have to stand on when it comes to shutting certain things down or engaging that way. I would even try to get other people who are either business colleagues or friends of yours who would be willing to post some content that's going to be relevant and allowable in your group, so people can start getting a feel for, okay, this is what the group is looking for and this is what the group is not looking for. So I'll give you a prime example of that, and I don't want to get political here, but I'm pretty conservative and I'm an American and my values match that. What I say matches that, and naturally I'm going to attract people that have that same viewpoint. What's really interesting is when somebody comes in to the Facebook group and says something that I maybe completely disagree with, I don't have to say anything. It's pretty amazing to me that the group at this point is pretty self-regulatory. So they'll come in and say, no, here's why that's wrong, and it's things that I would have said myself. So I think if you can get a few people in there that agree with your philosophy and are on board with that, they're going to start self-regulating the group.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I've heard that before too, and I was kind of hoping to get that going. And I even had a few, like, people I assigned as admin, but they weren't doing a very good job of it, and then it just kind of just became this spam over and over. And, it, you know, it was in the rewards too not to do that, but
right.
People just kind of ignore that, especially people jump in the group, literally spam it, and never contribute anything else ever again.
Yeah. Joe says that Pat Flynn allows Fridays for people to post solicits on his Facebook group. I actually just started that last week, and I put on the Facebook group, hey, on Friday from moving forward, guys, I know that there's a ton of people in here that have amazing resources geared towards men. I don't want you to post that stuff during the week, but we want to give you an outlet to do that for guys who are looking for additional information. So Friday post day to put out your post or video you want people to watch, and that seemed to go over well last Friday. So we'll see if that continues that way.
I really like the video idea, though. Like, you know, if you kind of get out and express your opinion and, like, what you're hoping, like, kind of like what you said, hoping what you hope this what this group would be, if you kind of express that in the beginning and pin that to the top, I think that'll actually kind of help a lot, too. So I already read that tech again.
Yeah.
Well, really quick, I posted, you know, you should be able to see, everyone can see the rules, so that you put them right there. You're pretty clear about that. And all right, well, let me open this up. Ron, you know, you've given us a solid hour. Really do appreciate it. If there are any other questions, go ahead and either send them out or Dave, do you have anything? You're quiet out there. Let me see. Mike? Yes, let me see. Somebody's making fun of, I got to step up my beard game. This is just called stubble here. Like, believe me, if I wanted to grow a beard, I couldn't. I would just have, like, big patches of, like, hair here or there. But yeah, that's the way it works for me.
People will ask me all the time, how do I grow a beard like yours? And the answer is, it's just genetics. I just stop shaving and it grows. So, I mean, there's nothing special I do.
Marianne saying, you're saying you're doing a great value for your customers. Bravo.
She asked about what's the best way to do a poll, I think she asked, on Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to do that in the group, there's a poll option. So as you're setting up the post for the group, just click on poll. I think the type of polls that you should be asking for are things that are going to be enlightening for you, number one, or the other guys, or if you're trying to gain any insights into the way they're thinking about things. But I also think entertaining questions in polls as well. I think one of our most engaging posts was, what's the manliest movie of all time? And I think it doesn't have to be all serious and how do we improve as men, but flamethrower going here. But set up those polls, create a couple of responses that you know are going to go over well, and allow people to respond and then add their comments as well.
I saw a question from John. I think he asked it twice. He said, would you recommend having a Facebook page and a Facebook group, or would users get overwhelmed?
Well, the cool thing is users can subscribe to whatever they want. So if they feel overwhelmed on the page, then they can leave. If they feel overwhelmed in the group, they can leave. So what I try to do is I try to create as many outlets as possible so that those that may like the sound of my voice can listen to the podcast. Those that may like to look at my beard can watch our YouTube videos. Those that don't want to look at me at all or hear from me, they just want to see what I have to say, can engage with me on the Facebook group. So I don't think it's just a matter of what's going to be overwhelming for you. So don't get so consumed with everything like, oh, I've got to be on this group and I've got to be on this page and then Instagram and YouTube and Periscope and Blab and blah, 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 blah. Only do it if you can maintain consistency in doing it, and then let your group decide or the people decide how is it that I want to engage with Ryan or Nick or Zach or Dave or whoever it is.
All right, good stuff there. Guys, I've got oh, Nick, you got something else?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there's a section in your group that you could allow for users to post the nonsense, spammy type stuff that Zach Bob was thinking about. And like specifically for Zach Bob's case, you're doing crowdfunding stuff, and you said you set up a group and you immediately got spammed. If you could have a page, like the old chat rooms used to have the page for just off-topic or, you know, your own stuff, that might add value to your audience because they can post their sites, get feedback from other people that are interested, but not spam up your main page and actually keep your audience engaged. But I don't know if you can do that or not with a group at all.
No, the thing with the group is that the way that that works is they will that Facebook bases and prioritizes the engaging post based on how engaged it is. So a lot of that stuff, if it's not engaged with, will get pushed down to the bottom. And then the things that have high engagement will be pushed up to the top. So there's not really another page. It's just the one feed. So.
And that won't work
then. What's that?
That won't work then. So.
Yeah. And Antonio, that's actually my Facebook page right there as opposed to the group, just so you know. I didn't know if you knew that.
I don't think I was tracking. I just self-selected myself, you know. It's like.
Are you on Snapchat, Ryan?
I'm not. I quite honestly, I haven't even looked at it. I know Gary V's all over it right now and some other guys that I follow and connect with. I might look at it. I might not. To me, at this point, it seems pretty overwhelming for me to think about one more thing that I have to participate in. And so maybe down the road. But what's that?
It's very addicting, very quick.
I'm sure, yeah. And that's the thing about social media is that it is very addicting, right? It is. That's the point. They want to have you keep coming back as often as you possibly can. And that's why Antonio has, you know, 50 alerts up there and I've got 100 or whatever it is. And because they want me to come back to their page.
I don't really check my alerts. I don't even have I'm looking at my phone. The only thing I have, the only app I have, Personal Capital and Real Men Real Style, and my Audible app. There we go.
But yeah.
One thing, you know, Ryan, I think that you did a really good job, and I don't know if people picked up on, is that you segment time for specific projects, and you don't let it go past, like, hey, you've got your financial business on Tuesday, so order a man can't go into that. And I know for me, when I go home, I need to be home for dinner time, my wife gives me Mondays off. She takes the kids to ice skating. I get to be here. But when I leave, I mean, I can't come into work before 8, and I need to be out by 5. So if it doesn't fall in that window, it just doesn't happen. So it's forced me to cut off a lot of things. Simply because if it doesn't, you know, I just can only do so much in that set amount of time that I can work. So do you feel that that's helped you a lot by having those bookends?
There's a principle, and I don't know the name of the principle, but the amount of work that we get done is allotted to the time that we have. So if you've got a week to do a project, it's going to take you a week. If you have 2 days to do a project, it'll take you 2 days. And so if you put yourself on hard deadlines, whether it's an hour or 3 hours or 10 minutes, I think you're going to get that work done is what I'm saying, because that's the time that you allotted yourself. And you'll find yourself doing things to be more and more efficient. And absolutely, Antonio, I 100% agree with you. The more that you can place time constraints and restrictions on your time, the more effective you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Parkinson's. Yeah, I think that's right. Parkinson's principle. Dave mentioned that, it looks like.
All right, guys, let me see. Is there anyone else that's got anything? Good seeing some people I haven't seen for a while. Yeah, Dave, Marianne, thank you for keeping the comments alive. Dave, joining the Order of Man. All right, so Dave's already – so, guys,
right on,
go
Dave.
Over, join Order of Man. It is definitely a great group, and I think there's a lot that we can learn from our fellow vet. And, you know, Ryan, thank you very much for making time for us tonight. If the guys want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
You can go to orderman.com. That's the first place. So there it is on the screen right now. You can check out some of our articles there. If you want to connect a little bit further, there's our contact page. But mostly I'm pretty engaged with Instagram and ultra engaged with, obviously, our Facebook group and our Facebook page. So those are the best places to communicate with me. And I'd love to hear from everybody. If you have additional questions, comments, or ideas, I'm all ears. I love talking about this stuff. It's pretty fun for me. So I appreciate it, Antonio. Thanks, guys, for letting me be on today.
Ryan, thank you. Really appreciate being
Welcome.
Here. All right.
No problem.
All right. Well, really quick, I will let everyone know a quick admin thing with High Speed Elite. We now have it, and you should be able to go in there. If we talked about this, we've created PDFs for most of the pages. I will be going through and making one big book, but you can just come right here. You can download the PDF of the module. So if you wanted to take it, have it separate, you now have got that. So all those lessons, I will be turning all of this into one large ebook that will be for you guys to be able to have for any time you want to be able to access it. So that's right there. The task tracker, you guys are fully complete. I had a meeting with Tom, I think it was a little bit about a week ago. We've now put together a checklist. And we'll be sharing that with you guys here next week. Or actually, Tom, if you can, Tom will send an update when the next one's recommended. But we've now shifted from, you guys, okay, you have enough information. Let's now start holding you accountable to getting the things done in your business. So this checklist, some of you guys will be able to check off, honestly, almost half of it. Then other guys, you'll only be able to check off about 20% of it. But the point is, you're going to have a lot of things on this that's going to remind you need to do this. Some of it really, you know, simple, mundane. Others, it's going to be a little bit more complex. Some of it you may not need to do. But that is what's coming up. And Tom and me will put out the email. When the next meeting is going to be, I don't have that in front of me. It's probably going to be, I'm thinking more like February 1st. Tom, do you have it in front of you? Are you still out there?
I have it on the 1st.
Yep. Okay. February 1st is when we've got that then. And that will also be a time which we'll be going over everyone's companies and, you know, if you're there at the meeting. So, Nick, I know we need to set up a one-on-one time. I've got you my calendar. Zach, I just saw you grabbed another time. Cool. Good to go. And anyone else that needs to get a hold of me, especially if we haven't talked for a while, Marianne would love to hear from you. Dave, you know, definitely would love to hear from you. And let's set up a time and talk. That's it. Tom, anything on your end?
No, guys, but if you want to set up a time, my Calendly is just my calendar is calendly.com/tmorcus. And that's it.
All right. Go check out those flamethrower videos on people clearing snow. That's really cool. It gave me some ideas.
Don't burn down your house.
I don't know if that may go viral. You know, some guy just if you videotape the whole thing, the house catches on fire.
Give the flamethrower to your 11-year-old and
exactly
and see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens there. All right, guys.
I know what happens.
Yeah, take care. Good night.